Good morning. Thank you very much, JP. It's a beautiful day today, and welcome to the program. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. And the phone number here at the station, in case you want to call later in the program, is 903-586-5257. When I look at the top 10 causes of death in modern times, one of them, it has to do with the poor performance of the liver. And actually, someone's trying to call, so let's go ahead and take that phone call. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Dr. Morgan, for answering my phone call there, and I appreciate it. No, I was listening to you last time, and you was talking about nicotine in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in and out of the truck, and I missed a lot of it. Go ahead.
The reference point was, what does nicotine, or whether it's nicotine gum or nicotine in a patch or nicotine in the form of a cigarette, what does it do specifically to individuals that have already had like a coronary bypass? And so these are people that have had damage to their coronary arteries, and the heart just can't function because it just can't get enough oxygen and blood and nutrients to the heart. But they were showing that nicotine in any form, it does one thing. It causes your arteries to become clogged up again.
Right.
That's probably the short. That's probably the short and sweet of it.
Okay.
So that might be my way of saying, even though you can get a physician to prescribe all manner of nicotine to you, the best thing to do is to find some reasonable way not to consume it, if you want to be able to be productive and have your heart and your arteries to be healthy.
Okay. What would be the best way to get it out of your system there?
To get you mean once the nicotine's in there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy, that's just going to take time and patience. But what you do is you try to help assist your body in all the systems that promote detoxification. So let me just give you several ideas.
Okay.
There is a substance, it grows in the ocean. I'm going to say Pacific Ocean. There's probably some in the Atlantic. I'm just not aware of it. There's a type of algae that's called chlorella. Have you ever heard of that?
I remember you saying something about that, chlorella.
So if you went to the store and you said, you know what, I'm going to see if they have some chlorella on the shelf, and this might be like a health food type store, the first thing that gets your attention is how dark green these little tablets are. I mean, they're amazingly dark. And I was showing some to a woman yesterday, and you could just literally, it'll stain your fingers like a dark green color just when you handle them, which is no big deal at all. But chlorella has one of the most amazing abilities to promote detoxification. So if I asked you, have you ever heard of chlorophyll? Well, that's the pigment that's found in the chlorella. But this stuff absorbs toxic waste very, very efficiently. So that's one thing that you can do, is take chlorella when you're trying to discharge, detoxify, remove the effects of nicotine. And in the case of cigarettes, I would say help remove the old tar from the body.
Okay.
The other thing that I would think of, this is the product that I used to use before there was an argument between the gentleman that developed it and the supplement company, but they used to sell what's called bivalent sulfur.
Sulfur. I've heard of sulfur also.
Well,
bivalent sulfur.
But the product that used to be sold by Thorne Research was called Sulfonyl. And the stuff was amazing. I could take, let's just say, the average man that's addicted to Copenhagen or chewing tobacco, and I could give him this product called Sulfonyl or bivalent sulfur, and I tell you what, he could put it away. He could get over it. He could break the bonds of addiction, or he could break the yoke of nicotine bondage, and he could get over it. And it worked also for cigarettes. And I found with some people, it greatly reduced their craving. And all it was is just an element that's found in nature called sulfur. But in this form that they had, it was very, very effective at fitting into those nicotine or nicotinamide receptor slots, and the person says, oh my goodness, I think I can give up the cigarettes now, or I think I can stop my chewing tobacco, or Copenhagen. By the way, this is a side note that probably doesn't make a lick of sense to anybody, but the card reader at the gas pump wouldn't work the other day when I was low on gas, so I had to go in and give them $20 so I could get some gas for the car. And the woman in front of me, she spent $200. And I thought, oh my goodness, but she had rolled, you know how they come in those plastic wrapped, how many rolls of Copenhagen Skull there was, but it was just, she bought a lot of it. I thought, man, I know how to blow $200 real quick, just buy some Copenhagen.
Really?
But anyway, that's one product, and so that's not available anymore, so I didn't say it to waste your time, but what I'm saying is, There's other substances that are higher in sulfur that's very, very good for the human body. So we know that when a person goes out in the sunlight, that's how your body starts to sulfate, which it's kind of a complex mechanism, but just kind of trust me on that, that when you get out in the sun and you get some fresh air and some sunlight on your skin, that actually helps your body in a very positive way in many, many, on many levels. But one of the ways it helps your body sulfate, which means you do a better job of detoxification and keeping your body clean, or cleaning house. The other thing is just trying to start consuming foods that are very high in sulfur, and that could be everything from Brussels sprouts, asparagus, broccoli, cabbage. Did I mention cabbage yet? But yes. The cabbage could be everything from sauerkraut. There's, or if you like salad, some people just love those coleslaw mixes to make a salad out of, and I think they're amazingly good for you.
Okay. You mentioned that the sulfur nail or whatever is not available no more.
No, they stopped using it. There was an argument between the company that was selling it and the person that was getting the royalties for his invention, and they just couldn't agree, and that's where I'm going, great. You got these two guys arguing over product, and there's all these people. They could stop smoking cigarettes. They could stop chewing tobacco in Copenhagen or vaping, and now we don't have that product. And now maybe the product has come out again, but this was just such a huge letdown and disappointment that you couldn't get it just because two people were arguing over the price, I guess.
Wow.
It's almost always an argument over money, isn't it?
It is. Root of all evil, isn't it?
Well said, buddy. I can't top what you said. You're right.
Yeah. But what other sulfur products would be helpful?
Well, you've got onions, you've got garlic.
But there's no supplement or anything?
Well, one that I use a lot of, there's a... And that's kind of where I was going. You're like a step ahead of me, which is really, really good. In the soil, there is a type of a radish that is called the Spanish black radish. And when you crack the lid on the supplement and smell it, you're going, man, this smells really strong. That's because it's full of sulfur. And this is like a legitimate seed that you could buy. I've actually seen patients go to the store, one that sells seeds, and they buy a packet of Spanish black radish. But I mean, I guess some people eat it. I've never grown them before. I mean, regular radishes, you know how strong they are? They have kind of they got a bite to them. They pack potency. But this, if you get it in the herbal form, which is really easy, you can get it like in a compressed tablet. All it is just Spanish black radish, where they remove the moisture from it, so they kind of condense it down to the active ingredient. But it's one that is very, very unique. And there's a lady that's written a book. I'm so sorry, I've forgotten her name, but she's a PhD biochemist. But in this, she has a chapter just devoted to Spanish black radish, and she shows study after study where when a person starts taking Spanish black radish, all of a sudden their detoxification systems start to turn on, and their body starts removing toxins and waste and debris. Now, in the real world, this is kind of how I do it. I ask a person after they've taken it, well, how do you feel now? And so I know that's like a low-tech approach, but if a person can just tell you, using their own voice and their own words, like, Dr. Morgan, this Spanish black radish, this really worked. I feel so much better. Then do I really have to try hard to convince them to take care of themselves from that point on? No.
Right.
Because it's like cause and effect. You can see the difference. So Spanish black radish is the one form of sulfur. And that may be one of the reasons why people take garlic, too, because garlic has sulfur and onions have sulfur. And most people are going to be able to tell you if they can consume high sulfur, you know, foods, all of a sudden every system in their body starts working much better. Now, I know I'm going to kind of go off on a weird topic here, but, you know, one of the things that you've got to do is when you're out in the sunlight, it's almost like your body's this solar panel. And it's not photogalvanic electric or whatever they call those solar battery chargers. Haven't you driven by somebody's home and seen those solar panels up on the roof?
Yeah.
So they can collect the sunlight and, you know, they can convert that into energy or electricity for the battery. But your body is really designed that way. If you don't get enough sunlight, you cannot generate enough electricity. And part of your battery is sulfur. Actually, have you ever heard of sulfuric acid?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember when you were a boy that your dad would stop at the gas station and get gas and he would pop the hood so he could check the radiator fluid maybe? Well, maybe not. He didn't let it cool down. Don't want it to blow up on him. But he'd check the oil, power steering, fluid level for the brakes. But he'd take the caps off the battery and see if they were low in water, right?
Right, right.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Well, what would happen if that sulfuric acid from the battery got on your skin? It'd burn you, wouldn't it?
It would.
So that's just maybe an example of how you need sulfur to generate electricity in the human body. And so one of the ways you get that is by, one, eating foods that are rich in sulfur. I think I read the other day that grass-fed beef, when I say the other day, I mean 5 years ago, that grass-fed beef has a much better sulfur level naturally than it does feedlot beef, you know, where animals are kind of crammed onto a feedlot and they got to give them a lot of grain and corn, stuff like that, to fatten them
right
up. So when animals are allowed to eat natural flora and fauna and grasses and vegetation, the composition of the meat when you turn it into a T-bone steak is so much better for you than one that's raised on chemicals and hormones and antibiotics and lots of grains. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. It certainly does. All right. Well, I'll sure take all this into account. And,
there you
I
go.
I appreciate your time, and thanks for taking my call.
Well, you're sure welcome. I hope you have a great
day,
sir.
God bless you, and have a great day.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, this is an article that I'm taking a look at. And the question before the article is, are you obese with a fatty liver? Well, I can kind of answer that question. I think just about every study where they do a total body MRI, an MRI is a test that doesn't involve radiation, but what they do is they put you in this big round tunnel with a magnet wrapped around you, and what they can do is they can actually look at the exact size and the shape of all your internal organs, as one of my examples. And so if somebody had a liver that was three times larger than what a normal person's would be, they'd say, wow, you've got a fatty liver. And I guess another way of saying that is you've got a whole bunch of fat that's just built up in your liver. And when you have a lot of fat in the liver doesn't work right. Okay, does that make sense? So if I said one of the most amazing organ systems in your body that does so many things for you, I am completely incapable of telling you everything that your liver does, but it's your largest internal organ, if I can say it that way. But besides making hormones and producing compounds to keep you in excellent health, making sure that your blood is not too thick or not too thin. So, for example, if it was a woman that said, I've got some serious hormone problems, well, one of the organs that keeps your hormones in perfect balance would be the liver. It plays a role. And so one of the organs also that acts as a filtration system to remove any toxins or impurities, which there's none of us that are going to get away from toxins. It's impossible. Don't you ever drive somewhere in your car and there's a diesel truck in front of you and they floor it and they've had the filter removed, and so this black plume of thick coal-like gas comes out or smog or smoke. But anyway, you get it. You're going to be around toxins. Well, you need your liver to work right. So when you have a fatty liver, well, guess what happens? That makes you prone to diabetes. That definitely makes you prone to heart disease. You're heading toward cancer. And probably any other health problem that you could think of, from dementia to Alzheimer's to diabetes, one infection after the other. Really, do you want a liver that doesn't remove the coronavirus or cancer cells from the bloodstream? No, you want a liver that's really can work at a high level and can do its job right. Okay, so here's this study I came across. This is interesting. Now, you may have to use your imagination a little bit with this, because if you haven't heard of it, this might be new information, but let me just kind of give you some terms. So they're basically saying, if you're really overweight and you've got a fatty liver, what would happen if we gave you a substance called inositol? I'm going to spell that for you. I-N-O-S-I-T-O-L, inositol. They're saying this dose of inositol can make you much healthier. And so let me go ahead and give you the punchline. Supplementation with 4 grams of inositol per day can make obese people healthier. Okay, that's got my attention. I like stuff like that. The idea that there's something that you can do that changes the environment of your body for the better. Well, I like that. It says their cholesterol improves, and most likely what that means is their cholesterol goes from being very high and elevated back down to a normal range. That's number one. Number two, it says their insulin sensitivity increases. You know what that means? All the problems you have with blood sugar, like diabetes, whether it's type 1 or type 2, that gets better all of a sudden. Yay! That's like a victory. Number three, it says that their blood pressure decreased. Well, how many people are taking blood pressure lowering drugs? Well, there's a whole lot of people. It also says, number four, that their body weight decreased in the study. In addition, when they do a blood test to do a liver panel or to measure liver enzymes like ALT or AST or alkaline phosphatase, well, guess what they do? They improve also. And so just as a rule of thumb, this doesn't have to be 100%. So thanks for cutting me some slack here. But if you do a standard comprehensive metabolic profile or panel, that's just a simple blood test, bet you anything, every doctor and nurse practitioner, they order these just about on every patient all day long. If they don't, well, they don't. But if they do, what they're doing is they're trying to figure out how are things going inside the body. But you have very specific markers on a comprehensive metabolic panel, a blood test, that look at the performance and the function of the liver. Okay? And when your liver enzymes become elevated, even just a little bit, that can be a pretty good clue that what you're doing is you're keeping things the same way for a fatty liver to grow. So this would be a good idea to say to yourself, what can I do differently? Okay. This compound called inositol, it's actually considered a B vitamin-like compound. But there's not as much research that identifies this as an essential vitamin, although, guess what it's found in? It's found in beans, it's found in eggplant, it's in Brussels sprouts. All these are really good sources of inositol. They say that inositol is a group of compounds that physiologists sometimes refer as pseudovitamins. I don't think so, and my opinion is this. If you find this B vitamin-like compound and it's found in beans and peas and Brussels sprouts and broccoli, well, guess what? God was the one that designed it or created it and added it to those things, so evidently we probably need it. Because, I mean, you could probably build a case right now that beans can be really, really healthy, right? Okay. What about Brussels sprouts? Well, those are really healthy also. What about broccoli? That's really healthy. So, if it contains inositol, and inositol helps your liver improve, well, evidently, these are healing elements that are found in foods. And so, I don't want to call them a pseudo-vitamin like researchers do. I'd really rather prefer to say they're essential vitamins that your body needs. And like anything else, you need a certain amount of them to function properly. Okay, but here's a glitch right here. Researchers and scientists, they don't exactly know how much inositol a person needs or what its biological function is. It just hasn't been studied well enough. But we know this. When you take it, good things happen. Okay. Oh, I skipped over this part. I'm so sorry in this article. They think that somehow or another that inositol helps your body produce a variety of hormones. Now, you tell me, is that like a good topic or not? How many women and men out there suffer from a lack of proper hormone production? Well, in this study, it's showing that one of the elements that your body requires in order to make what you need, well, it's called inositol. Okay? Now, what I'm probably used to is reading articles about how inositol greatly helps neurotransmitter production. That would be, what's a neurotransmitter? That's kind of what runs the show in the brain. So if you say, hey, I have a lack of serotonin, I'm not feeling real good. Well, if all of a sudden you have better serotonin production, guess what? You feel amazingly good. Okay, by increasing inositol intake, cells become more responsive to hormones like testosterone, norepinephrine, and insulin. Oh my goodness. Well, then what does that mean? That means every man and woman, every child, every teenager, they need some inositol just to give a chance for the master hormone insulin, testosterone, all of those work better. Okay? Interesting. Here's the actual study right here. Researchers at Tabriz University of Medical Sciences in Iran, they conducted an 8-week experiment with 48 obese subjects. They're not using skinny people. They're using overweight people. And the age was somewhere between 18 to 55. All of the subjects had a mild degree of fatty liver disease, or as the researchers prefer to call it, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Which, that's a different topic, but can you totally wreck your liver with alcohol? Oh yeah, you totally can. Okay, in this study, half of the subjects took 2 grams of inositol twice a day. That means they got 4 grams a day. You see how good I am at math? 2 plus 2 is 4. They were given these sachets of powder that they had to dissolve in a glass of water. You know what? If you haven't ever tasted inositol, it's actually pleasant. It tastes sweet. So, like, if I give inositol tablets to kids, they suck on them like they're candy. But it's just, it naturally tastes sweet. It really is amazing, and it doesn't taste bad. You know how you might have the aftertaste of, what's the stuff called? I can't remember. But, you know, there's all these sweeteners. For example, stevia, doesn't that have like an aftertaste to it? I think that the lohan fruit or monk fruit, that's not quite as bad, but I mean, I don't really care for that stuff personally. But I mean, some people, they just cannot make it unless they have something sweet. Well, inositol, and that's where I'm going with this, it just tastes really pleasant. If you don't believe me, try some. Get some inositol tablets or powder and put some on your tongue and see what you think. Okay, the other group of subjects in the placebo group, placebo means they received these sachets of this powder that looked like inositol, but it didn't have any inositol. But what they used is they used maltodextrin as a sweetener. So they tried to, they didn't tell which group of people got what, but one group got inositol, which is a B vitamin. Another group just got maltodextrin, which is probably just kind of a man-processed form of sugar. Okay, so here's the result right here, and I'm just going to kind of cut to the chase. I'm not going to read all the data. It's just too much information. And plus, nobody probably cares about that. So when they gave the 4 grams of inositol to the subjects, guess what happens to them over the course of the study? I forgot to read. How long was the study? Well, I can't find that. I'm so sorry. I know it says in here somewhere. Okay, never mind. I've already looked over it, but here's the net result. When they gave people that were very obese with a fatty liver 4 grams of inositol a day, they lost 5 kilograms of weight in the study. And so what that means is, let me see, where's the calculator? I'm using Randy's calculator. This should be easy. 5 times 2.2 equals, that's 11 pounds. So when they took 4 grams of inositol, they lost 11 pounds over the length of the study. I'm so sorry. I cannot find the length of the study on here. I know it's in here, but I can't find it. Sometimes I lose stuff. I did today. So what happens when you have a fatty liver and you lose weight? Well, what you're hopeful for, and this is what most studies show, that if you lose 11 pounds over a short period of time, your liver is actually able to burn up some of the fat and get rid of it. So your liver shrinks down. See, if your liver can shrink back down to its normal size, then you're out of fatty liver. And let me ask you this. What would your guess be? The larger the liver is abnormally, the better it works? No. When your liver is 2.5 times larger than what it should be because it's full of fat, it does not work efficiently. It just doesn't. It's all clogged up. That prevents the liver cells or the hepatocytes from doing their job properly. But if you can remove all the fat from the liver, guess what happens? It starts working like it did when you were a teenager. It actually becomes younger. It becomes more efficient. It does its job better. And so what happens to the fatty liver when someone loses weight? Well, the liver starts to shrink back down to its normal size. And so just like I began with at the start of the study, what's the net result of that? The cholesterol levels improve. They become more sensitive to insulin, which means diabetes begins to diminish and go away. See, that's just a component of diabetes. The liver is just so burdened. It's just overwhelmed with too much sugar that it doesn't work right. Your blood pressure goes away and you lose body weight. And ultimately, your liver will function so much better. And when your liver functions better, you have greater longevity. You can actually do more and have more energy. It's that important to you. It really is. Okay, if you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, you have a question or comment, please feel free to call. The number here is 903-586-5257. Okay, if nobody calls, I'm going to go on to article number 2. And this one is sort of along the same lines, but maybe you've never heard of this before. Maybe this is the first time this information has kind of come into your brain, that big, beautiful brain that God created. You want to use it, don't you? Okay. This one is very interesting to me because have you ever heard the phrase before that if you don't use it, you lose it? Well, what does it suggest to you? That suggests that if you don't get off the couch, your muscles will start to atrophy and you'll start to lose their strength. Does that make sense? Now, this article right here is a little bit different than that. In this article, basically, they're trying to float the concept that if you eat too much, you're going to lose your muscles from that. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing okay.
Well, how can I help?
Oh, okay. Hold on for me. I'm turning down your voice.
Yeah, so you just have to turn the radio off.
That's what I'm working on.
There you go.
Way. You can either turn it down real low or
no, no, you just have to unplug it. Cause
really?
Well, I can hear the reverberation. So if you this is a good teaching point for everyone. So if you turn it off, there's no reverberation. Good. Thanks.
It's off right now. Okay. Now, my biggest problem right now that I can think of is I'm having a lot of nausea problems, and it seems like no matter what I do, it just comes on me anyway.
And so if you don't eat for 2 days, the nausea is still there?
Well, I haven't tried not eating for 2 days.
Well, and that's kind of the point I'm getting to, is if you give your liver and your gallbladder a rest, I wonder if it could fix itself.
Well, I don't know.
Well, what have you done to help the nausea? Or, if you will, describe to me what you're talking about. That way I'll be real precise.
Well, it starts kind of down in my gut area.
Above the belly button or below the belly button?
I would say above.
Then that's probably the gallbladder, but keep going.
Okay. And it would come on me, like right now I'm having an attack with it. I just start feeling really nauseous.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry. I hate that.
So it's like I never know when it's going to happen. And it's like right now I haven't eaten anything, of course, this morning. But no matter what I'm doing, sometime the other day I was in checking in some things in the closet looking for some things. And I worked a little bit, and then all of a sudden it came on me.
Well, is that because you were bending over?
I was doing, bending over, picking up things.
That's another clue, too, because when the gallbladder is really inflamed or the bile ducts are inflamed, bending over is one way that you can trigger it and make it worse. You're just taking an inflamed gallbladder and kind of smashing it when you bend over.
Mm-hmm.
How long has this been going on for?
Oh, it's been going on for months.
Okay. Do you still have your gallbladder?
I do.
Okay.
I still have everything so far.
Do you notice that certain foods make it worse? I mean, if you went today to have, like, the greasiest onion rings and Frito pie, you might be asking to make all this worse.
Yeah. Well, of course, I don't eat those things, but, I eat, like, sometimes in the morning I'll eat, like, oatmeal with raisins.
Is that pretty easy on it?
It seems like a little bit.
Okay, well, that gives us a clue right there. So oatmeal has a type of fiber called beta-glucan that removes toxins from the liver.
Okay.
So that's a good choice, having the gallbladder. And all we have to do is we just have to find out. I mean, I keep saying the gallbladder. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to talk over you, but I want to figure out where your nausea is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But most likely, that's what I would think.
I've talked to the doctor and mentioned it to him more than once, and he just ignores it.
I wonder, why would a doctor ignore what you're telling him? That doesn't make sense.
I just keep telling, and then another thing, my blood pressure was really high. I was in the emergency room a couple of times this past month, and he gave me medicine for that, but the nausea's still there.
So you've been to a doctor twice, he ignores you, and you've been to the ER twice this month. With blood pressure problems.
Right.
Okay. What kind of drugs are you taking? What kind of medications?
Well, he just recently put me on this lifetime lisinopril with HCTZ.
But you did have this nausea before that, though, right?
I was having some of it before that, yes.
Okay.
But right before that, before those two times, I was in the emergency room back around the 1st of March, and I had fallen. And I went from one room to another. I had just eaten breakfast, and then I went in and put something in the pantry. When I went to open the door, all of a sudden I was on the floor.
So you kind of blacked out?
I don't know, I guess. I mean, I didn't realize.
Did you go to the ER that time?
I did.
Did they say that you were dehydrated or your electrolytes were low? Or any of that stuff?
They check all this thing and they can't find anything wrong with you.
Well, for example, I had that happen just this week with somebody, and they said everything was normal, but when I looked at the lab test, they were dehydrated, their kidneys were messed up, they were low in electrolytes. It just kept going and going and going. They were anemic. And so your blood test is supposed to be like a very reliable, accurate marker to tell me what's going on with you. So If you just had copies of your lab tests, this would make this probably really easy.
I probably did here somewhere in my file.
I bet you have a thick file just from the month of March alone.
Well, if I had all the copies of everything, I probably would.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you want me to help you, or what would you hope that we could accomplish today?
Well, I hope I could find out what's going on so that,
well,
you know.
I can tell you that. It's your liver and your gallbladder.
Okay.
Do you do a good job of drinking water?
I've been in the... Before this, I've been in for being somewhat dehydrated, but they didn't mention it this time.
I know, but that would be one of the easiest reasons why a woman could go to the pantry and look for something and wake up on the floor 5 minutes later.
Yeah, and I had a fell back, too. I mean, I was...
Well, and that doesn't help. I don't want you to fall backwards and hit your head on the concrete.
Well, I had a knot on the back of my head.
Well, I would, too, and I'm sorry about that. I hate that it happened.
Yeah.
But if you've had an issue with dehydration, have you corrected that by trying to drink plenty of water and fluids? Do you drink something besides water? What do you drink besides water?
Not very much of anything. Lemon water, so I drink lemon water and then just water mostly.
Okay, but if you've had an issue with dehydration, is this something that's hard for you to do, is to get adequate water?
Yes.
Okay, well, we've got to find a way to correct that.
Okay.
I mean, water is the universal solvent, which means it washes all the toxins out. And if you start getting toxic, you're going to be nauseous every single time. That's why when a woman becomes pregnant, she has morning sickness and nausea, is because her body is undergoing the most massive house cleaning of all time. She's detoxing.
Right.
So I do think if we could improve water, it's either that or we'll just hook you up to an IV at the emergency room.
I've done that before. But what he told me when I was in there the last time, that he just wants me to drink just plain water. No electrolytes or nothing like that. Just plain water.
Oh, no, you could. Well, water needs electrolytes, so you could actually take a pinch of either Redmond sea salt or pink Himalayan salt or Celtic or Celtic salt and put just a pinch in your water to try to hold the water in your cells.
Yeah, well, he told me just to drink plain water because I took something with me that day, and he said, "Oh no, not this. This got electrolytes.
Well,
you can't have electrolytes."
What did he mean? Plain water.
Just water.
Where do you get your plain water?
I buy spring water.
Oh well, that's a good choice. That's a very good choice. Excellent. Great job
and
there.
I've been using that for many years, just spring water, and.
Well, let me ask a simple question. Do you think that you just really have an issue with dehydration as one of the points?
Do you think
you're properly hydrated?
No, because...
Would it be to correct that?
Well, I guess I'd have to almost quit eating to drink that much water, right? I mean,
no, not right.
How much water do I have to drink?
Well, how much do you weigh?
I'm like about 100 and between 120 to 125.
Okay, I'd say at least 60 to 65 ounces a day. 60. And no, the answer is not stop eating just so you could drink that much water.
Okay.
Well, I don't know where you came up with that idea that you have to stop drinking water or stop eating so you can drink water.
You need to drink 6 to 8. You know, bottles a day, and that's not a lot of water to drink. And,
well, I'm going to suggest to you this is a much different scenario than what you're suggesting.
Okay.
All you have to do is just sip on the water throughout the day. Surely this would be the easiest thing to put away. I think I could do that before lunchtime without even thinking about it. I think you can, too.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just write down on a sheet of paper and write down that I'm going to have... basically, that's 4 bottles of spring water a day. That's all it is.
4 bottles? You mean like what size?
Well, they're usually 16.9 ounces. If you went and bought your spring water in the bottle form,
okay.
I'm just trying to give you that as a measurement, but if you had 4 of those a day,
okay,
you could probably drink one the moment you wake up in the morning, and that means you only have 3 to go for the rest of the day.
Okay. I think I could do that one.
Yeah, I think you can too. And
so
I think it's going to be.
If I started getting that nausea feeling, is that what I should be doing right then?
Well, I think this is one of the things that we can't move beyond until you correct it. So when you hydrate your body well, that's when your liver and your gallbladder actually work right. So when you have a lack of hydration, your body's going to become quite toxic pretty quick.
Okay.
And so, I mean, this is the radio. I can't really examine you over the radio, but if you were here in front of me, I would go through all the different organ systems to find out which one's the weak link. But if you're dehydrated, yes, I would try to give you a strong sales pitch. This is how you do it. And so you could have 4 bottles of water a day, and if you wanted to have tuna salad, just cut up some celery and apple in it. That stuff's full of water. And if you said you wanted something sweet, we could cut up a bowl of strawberries. Well, that's full of water.
Right.
If somebody says it's going to be a hot day today, how about some watermelon? You're going to say, I agree. Let's eat some watermelon. That's just full of water. You could snack on grapes. Yes, it sure does.
Well, because the doctor seems to think it's only just water. It's not like that doesn't count. I mean, it's like.
Well, and I don't know exactly his thought, but I think I think what he's doing is he's just trying to rehydrate your body. So I think that's a good thing.
Right.
But eating grapes, that counts. Or having a bowl of strawberries and blueberries, that's full of water, that counts. Or even if you didn't drink water, what if you had 2 cups of green tea today? That counts as water. Or
don't want me to have anything with caffeine in it. You said no caffeine.
Well, then we'll go to ginger tea or lemon tea or blueberry tea or hibiscus tea, just any number of things.
Okay.
Dandelion root tea.
Okay.
And maybe it can give you some flavor, and you could squeeze a little bit of lemon or lime into it.
Yeah, well, I do lemon water all the time. I keep lemon.
Well, I think that's very smart. Good call.
Now, I did find my chart, but this, of course, is an older chart. But
it's fine. What does it say?
Okay, what are we looking for? There's a whole slew of things on this paper.
Tell me which ones are high and which ones are low. That'll be a good starting point.
Okay, let's see.
Just throw me one out there.
Okay, I don't know what these are. What's a WBC?
White blood cell count.
Okay.
What's the number on it, though?
My number is 7.4.
That's perfect.
Okay. And RBC is 4.84.
That's perfect.
Okay. And hemoglobin is 14.4.
You're probably dehydrated.
So that would tell me that.
Well, that would be a clue. What is the HCT just beneath the hemoglobin?
The hematocrit?
Yes, ma'am.
Hematocrit? It's 44.9.
Yeah, you're dehydrated. Your blood's way too thick. You got thick blood because, and that's why water is called the universal solvent. Okay. Every cell in your body has to have an optimal amount of water just to function properly. If it does not, actually, I mean, that's the way that I was taught when I was in school. When cells become dehydrated, that's when a person starts to die. And I do know for a fact that's true. So you need to rehydrate your body.
Okay.
And so did you see any on your lab test right there? That's called a CBC with a differential. Is there any that are high or low?
Okay, there's...
What's the one called SEGS? S-E-G-S.
Yes. Well, what is this MCV?
Mean corpuscular volume. What that means is it's the size of your red blood cells. Or the word mean doesn't mean you have a bad attitude. It just means it's like the average.
Well, mine is 92.8.
Well, you're probably starting to develop a problem with methylation, which would suggest a B12 deficiency. But that's one of the reasons why all these numbers are kind of point toward, they're subtle clues that you're headed toward dirty blood.
Okay.
What is the one called RDW? That stands for red cell distribution width. Well, if it's 11.5, that's perfect.
Well, I'm trying to find that where it is. Is it in the metabolic panel? Or?
No, it's just right there where you were looking. It's just under MCV, the mean corpuscular volume.
MC.
Yeah, but if you just switch to the metabolic panel, that's fine, too. What does the metabolic panel say?
Like my glucose, when they checked it here, was 89.
Well, I really want you to look at the ones that are either high or low or out of range.
Okay,
look for the abnormal ones.
Okay, if it's just under the high, is that you need that or not? The bun is 21.
Well, that means there's too much stress on your kidneys right now. Buns should never be above 16 or 17. Bun stands for blood, urea, nitrogen, and it's an extremely accurate marker to tell me if the kidneys are under stress. And so what do the kidneys need to keep your blood clean? Water.
Okay.
So if your bun, what is your, and if you look at the one called creatinine.
Yeah, that's right under there, and okay. It's 0.73.
Okay, you probably don't really get a lot of exercise, do you?
Not anymore, because I have a bad hip.
Okay, well, and that's what that's pointing toward.
I used to do a lot.
And so what's going to happen is your bun creatinine ratio is going to be pretty high, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 21, normal is 81 to 23, it says.
Yeah, but your bun creatinine ratio is what I'm referring to. That's a different number.
Oh, okay, that one's 0.60 to 1.30 is the...
No, that you're looking at something else. But anyway, I think the big message.
Oh, bun creation ratio.
Yes.
Ratio?
Yeah.
Okay, I found it. It's 29. It's got an H.
Yeah, and that H means it's elevated, and so that means you're probably your blood's a little dirty, if I can say it simply.
Dirty blood.
And so, if you can't really move and exercise, I mean, can you get on a recumbent bicycle and just pedal? Wouldn't that be easy on your hip?
I can just pedal a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's find something, because you got to get your blood moving.
Okay. What about sodium? Mine on this test was 141.
That's fine.
And potassium was 4.3.
That's fine, too.
Okay. Is there anything up here above that I need to work?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think we got to focus on what's going to be in your very best interest and really be good for you. And right now, if you can just rehydrate your body, that's going to go a long way to helping you. And then you've got to find a way to move more. And so if your kidneys are under stress, if you avoid refined sugar, that's going to be so good for you. I don't mind if you have sugar if it's called a bowl of strawberries.
Well, I don't really even buy sugar anymore, but... I like sweet potatoes, and I eat trout and stuff like that too.
Where do you catch your trout?
I catch it over at Ollie's.
Oh, I thought it was maybe a mountain stream in Colorado somewhere.
Well, they say they have never frozen their fish over there, so that's where I used to get my fish.
Now, what's your exact home address, and when are you cooking the trout again?
I go get some more about the time I run out when I'm eating. So.
Well, you're making a good choice by eating fish. Way to go.
Yes.
I'm trying to think, what do fish live in? Water.
Water, yeah.
So
well, I don't know how much is left time I cook it, but, you know.
Well, what I'm concerned about is as long as you walk away from our conversation today that you're probably a bit dehydrated and you need to work on improving your hydration. So putting a pinch of Celtic salt or a Redmond sea salt or Himalayan salt in a glass of water, that's probably going to go a long way to helping you.
Okay. And now on my cholesterol, it was reading, at this time, 191.
Mm-hmm. Those are all great numbers.
Triglyceride was 55.
Well, that's great. That's excellent. See, you've got a lot of things that are working right, but we need to work on the things that we need to work on.
Right, that's what I need to know because I'm tired of feeling sick. And HDL cholesterol is 78, and the LDL cholesterol, it says, is 99.
Mm-hmm, no problem there.
Well.
So, if I asked you a simple question, how much energy do you have? The number
none.
10 represents...
none.
Okay, so you have to understand your body is a battery. And if the water in your car, okay, the guy that I talked to a while ago, did you hear me say about you pull up to the gas station, the year is 1971, and your dad pops the hood, or you pop the hood of your car to say, maybe I should check the levels of water in the battery, because I know for a fact that if they get low, the battery doesn't work and my car won't start.
Okay.
So that's what you're dealing with right now. You don't have enough water and probably minerals in your body to generate electricity. But if it were me, I would just kind of jump to every case that I've probably seen like yours, they probably need some adrenal gland support, which okay. I don't think medicine really looks at that so much. That's not my concern. My allegiance is to you getting your energy back. But maybe you could start feeding and nourishing your body in such a way where it makes it much easier. So if you have a bad hip, can you go outside and sit in the sun for 20 minutes a day?
I could do that. When the sun shines, I sure could.
Well, I don't know if it's going to shine today. I mean, it doesn't look like it's shining right now to me when I look out the window of the radio station.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of pretty ones, though, haven't we?
Oh, we have. Yesterday was gorgeous. Today, who knows, maybe the sun will come out. But how much time do you spend outside?
Not enough, because...
Well, you've got to put your body in the sunlight to make your battery charge.
Okay.
You are a solar charged battery. That's what your body is. That's what your skin is.
All right.
But you might look into an herb called Eleuthero.
Can you spell it?
E-L-E-U. Oh, me. I'm going to have to spell it.
Okay.
Okay, I got it. E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O. Eleuthero. Sometimes it's called Siberian ginseng. It is extremely safe, but it does help build stamina, energy, endurance. Do you like the word energy?
I need some of that for sure.
Well, you know what happens when your body starts producing energy? Your body starts repairing everything that needs to be repaired. And right now, that's what we got to do. We got to find a way. So get on your bicycle and pedal several times a day. Go outside, even if the sun doesn't come out. Take your Bible outside, lay it on your lap, and start reading while you're sitting outside.
Okay. Okay.
Unless there's a pterodactyl in the neighborhood that's trying to pick up ladies and carry them off.
Right.
Okay. Are there any dinosaurs over there?
I don't know. There's a cat running around. That's all I've seen.
Well, I've heard he likes trout quite well.
Oh. Well, so I always bury what's left. There's not yet anything left, though.
Well, you're making compost. You're returning them to the soil from whence they were made. That's smart.
I do that regularly, whatever sprouts that I don't use.
Sounds like something my mom would do. She'd had her compost pile.
Well, that's how I've been fertilizing my rose bushes out back.
I bet they like it.
They do. They're coming back. They were all just kind of going gone, you know, and so I just started doing that, and then all three of them are reviving.
One thing that you should do is consider eating one salad a day and cover it with olive oil and squeeze all the lemon juice you want. And so whether you have avocados or tomatoes or greens or carrots or cucumbers or olives, all this stuff is full of water. Make it easy for your body to heal. And I think it's brilliant that you're eating, fish. So just do the best you can to try to pump up your body a little bit and see if you don't start feeling a lot better and you're more stable and less chances of blacking out.
Yeah, that's why I feel like it. And my eyes have been gotten worse too, so.
Well, the last time I checked, you've got to have great blood flow and your blood's too thick right now. So let's try to build up. Have you ever heard what the Bible says about the blood? It says the life is in the blood.
Life is in the blood, right.
You could have pomegranate. You could eat blueberries. You could eat strawberries. You could make fruit salad, and that would be so full of good water that it would be amazingly good for your body. But right now, you need to be stronger, and if you don't produce energy, we've got to find a way to get energy up. Or if you don't have energy, the body just doesn't repair itself. Does that make sense?
I know, and the way I feel, I don't have the energy. It's like I just want to go lay down or something. It's like,
well, go lay down on a blanket in your front yard.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if the saber-toothed tiger is not in the neighborhood, I meant.
No, well, it's usually down the road a little piece, down the street. Sometimes I walk down the end of the block and.
Oh, good.
And I'll see the cat. So.
Do you
it's
live
a
in
neighborhood a neighborhood cat? I think neighborhood cat.
Do you live in a safe neighborhood?
Pretty much.
Okay. Then
pretty much. I have some really good neighbors.
Well, why don't you go on four walks today? Walk to the end of the street and back, and 2 hours later, do it again.
Okay.
You've got to get the body moving to generate electricity or energy.
Right.
It's really the most devastating thing to the body of all time is just being sedentary. And I do respect what you're saying, but we need to give you an infusion of energy right now. I wish I could talk you into eating liver and onions today for lunch.
Well, you know, I started going to one of the grocery stores here, and then they went out of business.
They did run out of business?
Not the grocery store, the Traditions restaurant, you know. They went out of business.
Mm-hmm. They was that your source of liver and onions?
I have eaten that before, and then when I started doing that, they went out of business, so I don't know.
It had nothing to do with you going to the restaurant.
But
I can say the same thing.
I'm not sure where to get it.
Well, I think I've had several people tell me they serve it at Loggins Family Restaurant there in Tyler.
Oh, they do?
You better call them first. I mean, you could say Dr. Morgan told you so, but I don't know it like it's a fact.
Well, you know.
Wouldn't that be horrible to go to that home-style buffet and have your collard greens and cabbage and liver and onions?
Yeah, that'd be great. I love collard greens. That's my favorite green.
Well, then go get some.
Yeah, because every time I cook beans, I usually buy those frozen collard greens and put them in the freezer. And so every time that I do have beans, I love to add the collard greens to my beans.
Well, the last time I went to Loggins, they had a sign up. They said, "We're fresh out of trout," because some woman bought it all at Aldi's. Now it's starting to make sense.
I'm so glad they have it, and theirs out there has never been frozen. So,
well, good for you. Get your fresh trout and keep going to town with it.
Right. So, I was going to tell you too that my calcium was a 9.8 on here.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. So everything is.
Well, from what you're telling me, but the big overall theme is if you come to terms with that you're chronically dehydrated, now you've got a different thing to focus on. And yeah, I think you've come to terms with it, haven't you?
It sounds like it, because you're saying when I'm reading off these things that they're checking out. So.
Well, I don't have the whole enchilada in front of me where I can look at the totality of it, and that really helps me. But usually I can scan those real quick and kind of get an idea what's going on. But a lot of it sounds really good, so I don't want to give the impression there are not things that are good, because there are. But if you tell me that you have blood pressure problems and you're blacking out and you've been to the hospital, then please, and you got no energy, why don't we just do the simple stuff? Let's rehydrate your body. So if you need a treat, call them frozen grapes.
Okay. Well, I haven't been buying ice cream in a long time. So.
Well, that ain't what I'm talking about.
I know, but I'm just saying that was my culprit, you know, was ice cream. So I even stopped buying it because if I don't have it, I don't use. So
I think Bluebell has a new flavor called Rocky Mountain Spotted Trout. That probably is not going to be a top seller, is it?
No.
Okay, no. You got plenty of good stuff to work on here.
Okay, and thank you so much for your time and your energy. Your energy.
Well, when you go to Loggins, tell me if they're still out of trout, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. God bless.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay. That may not have been what you thought, but thank you for your patience. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. I'm looking at the clock. I really don't know how much time I have left, but I'm guessing I have maybe 20 seconds at the most. If you had one takeaway from today, everybody has to come to terms with the idea that we need a certain amount of water in our cells. And what holds water in the cells are called minerals. That's one of the reasons why eating fruits and vegetables and real food is so critical. But I'm also a fan of using salt when it's appropriate. But if you get a salt that's a raw salt that hadn't been processed, then regular table salt is full of aluminum. You don't want that.